Good morning. It's 7:21. Is it? 7:26. okay. 7:26 a.m. on Sunday, August 11th, 2025, here on the High Plains east of the Rocky Mountains in Greeley, Colorado. It's, well, it started out pretty overcast, although I'm seeing some little patches of blue sky way off to the southwest. It's a lovely cool morning, 62, 64. It's not raining. It's not drizzling. It's actually, the roads are dry now, which is like the first time in 4 or 5 days that the roads have been dry. My lawn loves it. But it made it so that I just couldn't convince myself that I ought to come outside and get wet. And before that, there was days and days and days of smoke. The fire is, well, I think it was like 95% contained as of yesterday, even with all of the rain. The air has been washed clean, more or less, because of the persistent drizzle and rain. It's just a faint hint of smoke in the air. So we're doing good. We're doing good this morning. Good morning. Good morning to you too. I know. It's very exciting. A distinguished looking gentleman with full head of white hair. You got the good genes. Well, you got the good hair genes. I don't know if you got the good genes. I don't know. He could be 30 years old and looks like he's 70. Little green apples here on the tree. Pretty sure these are crabs, but they're really big crab apples. Snowball bush is beginning to put up flowers. They don't have their little please don't pick the flowers sign out yet. Probably will. Although I guess technically that's not the snowball bush. The snowball bush is up here. So, what have I been doing the last few days? I don't know. Got to bake bread again today. Seems like I just baked it the other day. And I did, but just inhale these last two loaves of bread. I'm not sure exactly what the difference is or why, but the last few days have been soup and stew weather, so that probably has something to do with it. Trying to find the right level of yeast. 2 grams. Well, I don't know. I don't know if what I see as 2 grams on my scale is actually 2 grams, and whether 1 gram is really 1 gram or really 0.75 grams rounded up to the nearest. Full gram. What I did, The obvious solution, of course, is to buy a new scale. But what I really want is a way to reliably have some benchmarks in terms of how much yeast is going into the dough. And my scale probably registers anything from 0.5 gram to 1.5 grams as one. Just based on lazy programming. So it occurred to me that really if all I want is consistency, and because I'm using instant yeast, which is basically granulated, every little grain is about the same size and weight as every other little grain, it occurred to me that I could probably do volume using teaspoons as reliably as I can using this rather questionable scale that's probably ideal around 200 grams. Most accurate, I guess is the right word. So, I for science the hell out of it. No, not really. I dug out the jar of yeast and my measuring spoons and started with a full level tablespoon, a full level teaspoon of yeast, which weighed in at 4 grams. And I did that 5 times. And every time it came in just spot on. Drop it in, 4 grams. Drop it in, 4 grams. Drop it in, 4 grams. All right. So I did it again with half a teaspoon. And as predicted, 2 grams. Consistently, 2 grams. Bang on. And of course, when I did it with a quarter teaspoon, I got 1 gram. Consistently. Oh, you sure it's gonna rain now? I just got done saying. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Good. Hood up. I won't melt. I won't melt very much anyway. So now I've got a more reliable way of figuring out how much yeast is going in there. If even if it's not exactly 2 grams, it's consistent enough that I can say, okay, 1/2 teaspoon is 2 grams. 1/4 teaspoon is 1 gram. I can work with that and figure out. The problem that I'm having with the bread is that if I do the weight, the overnight proofing becomes quite large in the fridge. By the time I get the, you know, I give them an hour out of the fridge to warm up a little bit, and the loaves are already beginning to fall over the edges of the pan, which is, to me, is pretty indicative of being overproofed. So I've tried a couple times now to do 1 gram. And each time I've done 1 gram, the loaves have been pretty stingy. I've had to give them 2 or 3. The other day I had to give it 3 hours to get what looked like a solid double. And I'm really looking for something that's like a half inch above the lip of the loaf pans before I put it in the oven and deal with oven spring and all the rest of that. And they're really wet. They're really sticky, and I don't quite know why. The ratio is right. The hydration level is right. 65%, which is 650 milliliters of water to 1,000 grams of flour. The yeast is active. It gives me little bubbles in the crust. And it's not giving me uneven development in the crumb. So, yeah. Science. I also want to restart my trials for sourdough. And I suspect what's going to happen is that I'm going to have to go back to baking like every day. Because I'm rather than make two loaves of sourdough that nobody wants to eat, I will try a loaf and see how it works out. And then see what adjustments I need to make, if any. And we'll see how that works out. I can always make a yeast patch between. I know, where'd it come from? One of the familiar NPCs. This little yellow dog. Yeah, there's a fair amount of blue sky up there, but there's just a couple of big dark clouds up there still. See if we can push the hood back. I inadvertently put on the wrong hoodie this morning. I swear, I'm getting to the point where I need a keeper. I'm coming up on it. Get ready, stay with me. Monk post. I'm wearing the heavy-duty fleece-lined hoodie this morning. Maybe I was cold when I was getting dressed. I don't know. Oh, dear. Anyway, bread. Yeah, for science. I have to make bread tonight, which is why I'm thinking about it. Still collecting fountain pens. I put a bid on one yesterday? I wonder if I won. I didn't look. I started to try to clean out one of the Estabrook J's that I got. I think it's an SJ. It's a smaller version of the standard Estabrook J. You can tell. I don't know if it's an LJ or an SJ. I did know, and now I've forgotten which one it is. And I started trying to rinse it out, and I realized that the water wasn't coming up into the body of the pen. It was just flowing. I started looking at it, and I'm pouring water in the top. With Estabrook, you can just unscrew the nib and pour water, in this case, directly into the section. And it looks like there might be a piece of the section missing. Now that I think about it, because I actually got it all disassembled. In the process, what I discovered was that the ink sac in this pen, this is not one of the ones that I got that was restored. Clearly. Because I rinsed it out and little chips of the old ink sac came falling out of the body of the pen, and I'm like, oh, yeah, crap. So, I need to... The section itself looks new, which makes me think it's not the original section that belongs to this pen. The section of a pen is the part that you grip. It's the piece that runs between, that holds the nib, and with which you hold the pen in order to write with it. And there's always some channel that leads from the ink reservoir in the body of the pen down to the nib for its distribution to the tip of the nib via capillary action through the little narrow groove. That's interesting. That was a hawk. Just flopped up out of the back of that yard. I didn't see what kind, but it was definitely a hawk. Well, I think it was a hawk. Let me put it that way. I think it was a hawk. Anyway, yeah, I started rinsing it out, and there's no sack in it. There's not much in the section at all, which makes me question it. So I have to find another one, to pick another one of my pens to ink up. I'm down to three. I picked up cheap, new, a Cross fountain pen. It's the first Cross pen that I've had as a fountain pen. I've had Cross pens for years as ballpoints. But it's a first fountain pen that I've had that's Cross. And they've been making Cross ballpoint, Cross fountain pens for decades. This is a Cross Bailey Light. And I'm not sure if it refers to the weight of the pen or what, but it is quite light in the hand. It's got a nice feel to it. It's not too thin. Has a nice grip. Feels good. Very smooth. I'm just like, holy cow, this is butter. I like it a lot. The other one is, I finally got one of my Waterman cartridge converter pens going, using a Mongrel, well, not a Mongrel, it's actually a Mont Blanc mini converter that holds just the tiniest amount of ink, but more than enough. People talk about the converters that only hold a quarter of a cartridge full of ink. And I'm like, yeah, that's good. I don't want to have to write a thesis with this in order to swap it out for one of the other pens that I've got. And for a cheap pen, I think it was a pretty high-end pen for its day. In theory, it's just like one step up from a school pen. That is something that you would give to somebody to use in school, expecting it to get lost, broken, stolen, whatever. But it's still got the little chalk marks on the side of the barrel from when it was brand new, so it wasn't used very much. tubular nib. Really smooth, really nice. It's an older model. You can tell, Waterman, you can tell if it's a new model or an old model by whether it's Waterman's or Waterman. Same with Schaefer. Schaefer, depending on which side of Mississippi you live on, I think. Schaefer's is before, I think before Bic. I think Bic bought Schaefer at one point. And the Schaefer's was pre-purchase and was still owned by the Schaefer company. But this Waterman is really nice. I so far, of the brands I've tried, Parker's pretty good. Schaefer's Workman. You know, it's utility pen. Does what it's supposed to do. I don't think I have a high-end Schaefer. The Waterman is nice, really nice. The Cross is nice. For a new $30 pen, I got it for about half the price, including the shipping. For a new $30 pen, it does pretty well. Keep in mind that the Safari is a $30 pen too. And that's considered to be a newbie pen. That's considered to be one of the starter pens, along with the Metropolitan from Pilot, along with the Twisby Echo, which I don't quite understand, because that's like the next $10 tier up. I haven't tried a Twisby yet, but waiting in the wings, I've got a Champion, a refurbished Champion from the 30s. I want to try that one. I also have another Chinese knockoff, Kigalu. Kigulu. Has a little rabbit logo on the cap. It's a knockoff of a high-end Pilot. I forget now which one it is. It's a knockoff of something anyway. The red's really nice. I got four of them in a batch of, in a single lot for like $5. And I've inked up one of them. It writes really smooth. It writes really, really nice. It's got a nice weight. But it's definitely a Chinese knockoff. There's something about them. They're stiff, they're metal, or feel metal. Yeah, somebody's not pleased with me standing under his tree. And I probably should get in the house. I just finished KT Hanna's Library Reset Overdue. Fun book, next book. First book of the series. I'm definitely going to keep track of the series. It's a wicked fun series. And next book is not coming out until November. Which is like, oh man, I knew better than to take book one of one for a series, but I took it anyway. I don't know where I'm going to go to next. I've got a whole bunch of samples I got to wade through. Anyway, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. Well, any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.